It's 1939 Germany. After her mother is shot at a checkpoint, 15-year-old Sarah meets a mysterious man with an ambiguous accent, a suspiciously bare apartment, and a lockbox full of weapons. My guest today on 15 with the Author is Matt Colleen with his young adult debut novel, Orphan, Monster, Spy. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hello, how are you doing?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Well, that's good. Now, did I say your last name correctly?
Killeen, yes.
Killeen, okay.
Irish.
Well, and we just celebrated St. Patrick's Day here. Okay, so anyway, you have had a few careers, according to a bio, including writing stints. What were those, and what drew you to young adult novel writing, in particular, the subject matter?
Oh, goodness. I was never quite sure what I was going to do. I mean, I've been, even before I started writing, I was a singer, then a designer, and an advertising creative, and I ran a laser tag center and an internet cafe and a nightclub and
wow.
All this time I'd been writing, but I was kind of taking it for granted. It seemed like an ancillary part of sort of a wider creative job. And it was only when my business partner quit. In the UK, you have to work as a pair as advertising creatives, and I found a new partner who was just a better designer than me. He had a real gift, and he was also Swedish, so I said, well, I guess I'll do the writing then. And then that was like the scales kind of fell from my eyes. When that was all I had to think about, mm-hmm. I found that it came really easily to me, and it made sense because I'd been writing all this time. I'd been writing lyrics, I'd been writing film scripts, I'd been writing sort of all the way along. Then I had sort of stints as a sort of ignored sports and music journalist, and then I spent the last 8 years working for the Lego company in the UK. That was
fun.
There were three things I wanted to be when I was five. I wanted to be an astronaut, an X-wing pilot, and I wanted to work for Lego. So one of those came true.
That's pretty.
And cool. Kind of along the way, I'm not quite sure what the initial impetus was for this. I think I was looking at a film script I'd written when I was back in film school, and it was I couldn't make it work. There was something about it that just didn't make sense. And then it sort of came to me all of a sudden that, in fact, this was a story for children. And if you sort of transpose the characters to children, all of a sudden it all made perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I think after having been an advertising creative where you have like 2 to 7 words in order to explain whatever complex abstract concept you needed to get across. Mm-hmm. Writing for children and young adults is very much about being concise. You are not allowed to waffle or fill pages up because
they'll get bored.
Not what children are about, exactly.
Yeah.
What
about you also mentioned I believe in one of the reviews I was looking at is recent events of racism and fascism influenced your writing.
Yes, I mean this book was sort of 5 years in the making. I did a master's degree in creative writing, and I had 3 years to write the book. So of course it took exactly 3 years, right up until the final night, because I worked a deadline. And when I started, I've always had a horrified fascination with sort of the Third Reich and the Holocaust, and mm-hmm. a special interest in Germany in particular. And and people always said, that will never happen again. We wouldn't let that happen. But of course, it happens all the time. It's happened since. And it will happen again. Mm-hmm. Some of those things looked a way off when I started. By the time I kind of finished, you have people in the media actively stoking up hatred and fear and. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have, as a society, you know, on both sides of the Atlantic, countries that are sort of, you know, ripe for very much echoing kind of sort of what the rise of the Third Reich in many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the questions I have for you is about Sarah, the main character. She's a blonde, blue-eyed 15-year-old with Jewish blood. She can pass for 11 and has acting skills. Now, did her character just come to you? Did she, or how did she evolve?
Well, you know, I as I said, I already had a sort of an interest in the era and the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I, when I moved to South London, there is near one of the tube stations. There's a war memorial, and there's a mural dedicated to Violet Szabo. Violet Szabo was a special operations executive agent who sort of parachuted twice into occupied France, and she was captured and murdered by the Nazis. And I knew her story really well because there's a particularly good, you know, a film made of it with Virginia McKenna called Carve Her Name with Pride. But I, first of all, I wondered, why is this mural here in South London? And of course, it turned out that although she was French, she had grown up in South London. And two, it kind of flagged up just how young she'd been when she died, and how young she'd been when she volunteered for what was essentially a suicide mission. You know, not many people made it back.
Yeah.
And they couldn't expect any sort of, they weren't prisoners of war, they couldn't expect anything else but sort of torture and death. And, you know, she was 21 when she volunteered, and I was thinking what a mess I had been at 21. There's no way I could have done that. And I wasn't much more mature at 21 than I had been at 17 or 15, and that was the moment that, bang, sort of Sarah arrived in my head, sort of pretty much fully formed.
So your writing is really vivid, and the material is stark. Do you, when you go someplace like that in your head, do you map that out? Do you stay in that place? I guess one of the things that I always find fascinating talking to writers is when they're writing material that is really can be pretty intense, is what happens to them as they write.
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm a mixture between a plotter and somebody who flies by the seat of their pants. I kind of have a framework, so I know where the story is going, and there are various points to reach in the story, but I generally let things develop by themselves. So I kind of knew that this was going to go to some very dark places.
Mm-hmm.
I find it slightly problematic writing when I have limited amounts of time, because it does take, you know, it might take 2 hours to get into the mind frame to write a really dark scene. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's no good me going off and doing something else and coming back and expecting to be able to recapture that. I found some, you know, there are some of the scenes at the school which were quite difficult to write. You know, I was a mercilessly bullied child, so I was kind of like reaching into some, you know, personal experiences to sort of reproduce the sort of the emotional truth in those scenes.
Was that, I don't mean to interrupt you, except that that makes me think that, did you find any sort of catharsis from that? For yourself, on a personal level?
Interesting question. I don't know if I necessarily... I think there was something quite satisfying in being able to channel those experiences into anything, you know, anything positive.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was if it sort of provided any sort of major epiphany moments. You know,
okay.
I've had some therapy and I've worked through some of these things. So perhaps if I was trying to access them and they were still, you know, as raw as they have been, that might be possibly true. It's an incredibly, incredibly interesting question.
Yeah. We are talking with Matt Killeen. He is the author of Orphan Master Spy. And the book is a young adult novel, but I'm reading it and I'm hooked. So it doesn't have to be a young adult that reads this book. Your process and research, I'm assuming that you had quite a bit of research to do. Is that the case? And if so, what were some of the things that perhaps shocked you the most?
Interesting one. I mean, I was kind of working off a sort of quite a thick knowledge base. I grew up in the 1970s in Britain, and you know, the war was still everywhere. It was all the comics, the stories, the films, the books, the TVs, the even the shoes we wore to school were sort of war themed shoes. And, you know, along with that, I had my mother's best friend was German, so we spent, you know, many happy summers with, you know, this wonderful family, and it was, you know, who were caring and compassionate and rabidly pacifist. And it was very difficult to square that with what I had been told about, you know, sort of the German people during the war. And I found, you know, the more I knew about the Holocaust and the Third Reich, that dichotomy just grew ever more kind of sort of darkly fascinating. So it's always been an area that I've kind of, you know, known a lot about.
Well, I noticed a couple of years ago, I was very fortunate to be able to go to Europe, but I wasn't in England, but in several other countries, and the war memorials are in every single little town.
Yes.
And the I happened to go when the poppies were blooming. And it was just an extraordinary feeling as you glance out and see this and see these beautiful places in this gorgeous countryside and all of this, and then you see these monuments and these memorials, and it just, it really hits you.
Yeah,
I can see. And you know, there's another part in the book where early on Sarah is at the school for girls where they're singing to the fatherland and Hitler. There's an aria that's sung, and she gets caught up in the mass, the sort of hypnosis of these children. What would you say to your own kids about that sort of really brainwashing that takes place?
I think it, when I did film at university, we studied Triumph for the Will, which is sort of Leni Riefenstahl's film of the one of the Nuremberg rallies. And it had only sort of been very recently legal to watch at that point. And you know, I think with some reason, because it's hypnotic. Because it is so beautifully made, and it is so that it presents something that on a very sort of deep human level you want to be involved in.
Which can be so frightening.
Absolutely. I mean, it's terrifying. I mean, in some ways, when we look at Hitler talking now, and we're so used to knowing who he was in his very soul, that it's easy sometimes to kind of dismiss the power that he represented when he talked, because he's been sort of lampooned so many times.
We know better.
I think, I mean, if you ever see the Charlie Chaplin's The Great Dictator, I think, you know, Chaplin understood, you know, the Hitler's power, you know, at the time when few other people had quite realized. And, you know, I think it is sometimes more instructive to watch that than it is to watch Hitler talking. But it's the humans crave, you know, being in groups where they feel like they belong. And, you know, Nazism and Nazi Germany represented, you know, a classic case of that for the few who were part of it. You know, it answered a very human call.
And it's interesting because I just recently interviewed a woman who, she lives in the United States here. Her grandfather, she was born in Germany, and her grandfather was a political prisoner in Dachau. And he helped save many lives. And She did not know this story until she was 18, and he told her the story and asked her to write it so that people will know that not all Germans were Nazis. Mm-hmm. And that's a very powerful story. She's a brand new writer, and she's trying. But I bring that up, and for one reason is that the importance of Orphan Monster Spy really seems to kind of go beyond writing a good novel. What are the takeaways that you want for your audience?
Always a tricky question, because I'm always, you know, perhaps slightly uncomfortable with you know, telling teenagers what they should be thinking.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's definitely one of those cases of, you know, I would like to think that people coming out of this book would feel more empowered to speak up, to think for themselves, to not take things at face value. I mean, I think definitely there. I mean, there are cases where Sarah takes a stand almost without thinking.
Yes.
That seems almost, you know, sort of suicidal or self-defeating, and yet it was important to me that she. In many ways, she kind of tells me what she's going to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm writing and she just ends up doing something and I'm like, oh, okay, that's what you're going to do. And
That's a very unique part about writing.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I think it's standing for what is right, even if you are standing alone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, pretty much every occupied country in Europe participated with the Holocaust on some level,
mm-hmm.
With the exception of Denmark, which, you know, there sort of came a point where they were ordered to deport their Jews, and the country decided en masse that that wasn't going to happen. So they hid them, they got them off to Sweden. They, you know, they resisted armed police on the streets to free individual people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't think there's anything particularly special about the Danes, because, you know, Denmark today has some of the most sort of draconian anti-refugee laws.
Yes.
I think it was just a case of it reached a critical mass. Enough people stood up and went, I'm not scared and I'm not going to take this.
Yeah.
And that's how you kind of resist.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you resist tyranny.
And the book, again, is Orphan Monster Spy, written by Matt Killeen. And this is your debut young adult novel. You are on an American tour.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going so far?
It's going very well. I was actually in Minnesota a month or two back, and I found that very cold. I looked
so
it up on the... I looked it up on my phone, and it said, feels like minus 27, and so I said, well, what does minus 27 feel like? I don't think I have any notion what that's like. Yeah.
That's funny.
But it's been very, you know, I think it's been very, very, you know, positively received. Everyone's been very nice, and so, you
good,
know,
good.
I'm quite excited.
Well, and now I know you're in the midst of the whole tour thing, but have you already started thinking, or is there already some writing going on for the next novel?
There is indeed, yes. I'm working on a sequel right now.
Ah, all right.
Perhaps not as far forward as people would like,
okay.
You know, I'm sure I'm going to get my knuckles wrapped by my editor on Thursday. But yes, the sequel is coming.
All right. Well, Matt, thank you so much for your time, and we wish you the best. And I look forward to talking to you about your next book.
Great. Thank you very much for talking to me.